This morning, if you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me to 1 Timothy. We want to continue our study through the book of 1 Timothy. And this morning, we're coming to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Paul has been writing this letter to Timothy to encourage him and to give him direction on how he is to serve God and the call that God has placed on Timothy's life and the path he set before him to be one who would be a teacher and an elder in the church. But there are many principles that God has retained for us to follow in this book, as He has throughout all of Scripture. This book was given by the Holy Spirit, that you and I could see the principles that not only apply to the day in which Timothy lived, but as we draw to the closer every day to the last days, they grow even more applicable to us as we walk with the Lord. Such is the lesson we're going to be looking at this morning out of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. Paul had been talking to Timothy about how the church was to function. He was talking about last week, we studied a little bit and looked at relationships of husbands and wives, leaders in the church, and what the characteristics of men who would seek to be leaders would. And today, we're going to be looking at Paul's really exhortation to Timothy and his warning about what is going to be coming and why there needs to be men and women who are seeking to follow God's word above all else and make that the foundation of their life. Jesus himself said that one of the last things that would be a great sign of the nearness of his return would be apostasy amongst those that claimed to be his. And we're seeing that that is a great thing that is happening in the church today. Never have there been so many false doctrines infiltrating the church, and never faster than they have as they're doing today. And the impact of those false doctrines is great upon people's lives and leading them astray. And so this morning we want to take a look, and let's read Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' tales, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptance. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word and help us to understand the day in which we live. And may we have a heart and a desire to have sound doctrine in our life, to have your word directing our paths, being a light unto our feet and giving us direction. And may we not be deceived by the lies of the evil one. Lord, speak to us this hour, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting as you look at and read the apostles' letters to the church, whether it be Paul or Peter, James or John, Jude, as you read their letters, one of the themes that you constantly see is be careful not to fall into false doctrine, not to follow lies that are laid before you. The Apostle Paul tells us where these things come from. And he says to Timothy in verse 1 of chapter 4, Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. God's Spirit tells us specifically of this truth, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils. I want you to understand, and I've shared this with you before, Satan has laid out a doctrine, a belief system, that he desires men would follow. And right now, one can look at what's happening in our world and we can see that many people have bought into the doctrine of devils, which has been put together by Satan himself, to deceive and lead men in rebellion against God and to deny God as their creator and to not look to Him as the Redeemer who would come to redeem them from their sin, and rather to believe in all the lies of the various religions of the world which take men away from God instead of towards God. We never had to worry when I was a kid. If you went to a church that had said they were evangelical and Bible believing, that's what they'd be, was evangelical and Bible believing. They would take the Bible and they would base the principles that they taught within that church and the things that they believed out of Scripture. Today we see what's happening and coming into the church is that much of Scripture is picked and choosed. We want to believe what we want to believe, and if it offends me or if it makes me not want to do a certain thing, then I won't believe it. I just heard Warren Smith, I think they're all gone again, had the book out and back called The Titanic and the Church, The Tale of Two Shipwrecks. And in that, he gives examples of false doctrines that have come into the church that are causing the church to sink and be its destruction. For those of you who don't really know much about the Titanic and when it sank, originally they thought that it had a huge gaping hole that had been caused by this iceberg. But when they found the Titanic and examined it, they found that the hole wasn't that large, but it allowed water to begin to penetrate and they couldn't stop it. And as the water penetrated, it began to fill up the various holds within the ship, and the ship began to lose its buoyancy, and all of a sudden the ship that had been declared unsinkable did the unthinkable and sank, costing thousands of people their lives. Today, the false teachings of Satan didn't just come blasting into the church, blowing open and causing the Bible to be totally ignored. But it came in one false doctrine at a time. And I want you to understand what's happened today. The church has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. There is no power apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is no power apart from God, who is our Creator, Sustainer. Now, it's interesting as you look at what Paul is telling to Timothy about these doctrines of demons. I just want to give you one example. As I mentioned, Warren Smith emailed me a little interaction. It was an interview of Chris Lawson, who was a Calvary Chapel pastor, and then he was a Calvary Chapel minister in England, in Great Britain, for a number of years. And then he, as he said in the interview, when he was in Great Britain, one of the things he saw is where his church was when he was a missionary over there. They had Jehovah's Witnesses on this side. They had different, really open, blatant satanic occults all around his church building, within blocks of his church building. And he said, I understood and really was a recipient of spiritual warfare, understanding the deep darkness that Satan has and the doctrines of his demons and where they lead. But what is interesting, God called him into a discernment ministry after he left the missionary field. And part of his discernment ministry was because he saw these doctrines of demons that were evident in the teaching methods of all of these cultic, occultic churches that were around him when he was in England. Some of the same things coming into the church today. And one of them that really bothered him, it was about, I think it was 10 or 15 years ago, I forget the exact year, there was another Calvary Chapel pastor who lost a son. As any parent who would have lost a child, they had great grief in their family. But all of a sudden, supposedly, his son appeared and manifested himself and spoke to his parents. And his parents promoted this and believed it. And they wrote a book about it. And they still promote it to this day. Chris Lawson said he called and talked to him and says, do you not understand what the Bible says about that we cannot and are not to speak to the dead? The Bible says that we open ourselves up to a world that God does not want us to enter into, and we open ourselves up to spirits that are not the spirits of those that have gone before us, because Jesus Himself gave us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man had not believed in this life. He mocked God. He looked and said, I am so wealthy, I'm going to build more barns. And then the Lord came and said, you fool. And now he's in Hades. And he's got brothers that are still alive on earth. And he calls out and wants Lazarus, who was a beggar in this world, but a believer, and he's in the bosom of Abraham, and there's a great gulf fixed between Hades and the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man looks across and sees Lazarus and says, send him back to warn my brothers. And he's told, if you wouldn't believe, you won't believe if one comes back from the dead. And Jesus said that there is no communication. In that parable he showed us, there is no communication with those who have gone before us, either to heaven or hell, and us in this world. It's called necromancy. God calls it an abomination. In the Old Testament, when Saul, who was not a believer, and relied totally upon Samuel to give him direction, because Saul really had no relationship with God and didn't call on God, but called on God through Samuel. Samuel dies. Saul's got problems. He doesn't know what to do. Now Saul had declared that there was to be no mediums, witches, warlocks, seances in the land of Israel. But Saul sought out a medium to go and contact the spirit of Samuel to get direction. An abomination to God. We are not to do it. This pastor who communicates with his dead son today is one of the leading pastors in America. But I want you to know, once you let the door of false doctrine and doctrines of demons into your life, it only grows. There's only one cure for it, and that is to repent of it, confess it as sin, turn from it, abandon it, and by the power of God, be delivered from it. Chris Lawson went and talked to him and asked him, will you repent? And he was given no time. Today, he's sitting and sharing platforms with men who are part of what is referred to as the NAR, or the New Apostolic Reformation. Another doctrinally demon-filled belief system in the name of Jesus. These men say that they are the new apostles. They are given new visions and new words from God. This word is not enough. They have to have new words from the Lord. They give prophecies. Many and not most of which never come true. If they are truly a prophet, then they are to be taken out and killed. Because the scriptures in the Old Testament said that a false prophet needs to be right 100% of the time or he's not of God. And needs to be put to death. This is doctrines of demons. Lifting up men to a position where they attempt to present things that are not of God in the name of God. There are many people who are putting their trust in these men's prophecies instead of calling on the name of the Lord to deliver us from our sin as a nation and for people to repent and come to Christ. And now you've got a man who speaks to his dead son and encourages others that it's real, doing it. And sharing the stage with him. I heard part of his message that he brought when he shared the stage at one of these rallies. His message was good, but what happens when you bring a message where it has the right words, repent, America, and turn to Jesus, but you won't repent, and you won't turn to Jesus, and you won't believe His Word. Another phenomenon that's coming into the church, which is really a form of the doctrines of demons. We have a book back there, a booklet called The Chosen. My wife had been talking to some people about The Chosen, and it's almost like a cult, those who follow The Chosen. They will follow that, they will believe that, they won't read their Bibles, but they get their biblical knowledge from The Chosen, even though when you look at what is being portrayed on the screen, it's not biblical. The things that are shown aren't even following Scripture. The man who plays Jesus, and I don't think that anybody can play Jesus, but the man who plays Jesus is very much in support of the LGBTQ community. Supposedly now, they've got LGBTQ rainbows appearing in some of the stuff for The Chosen. And yet you've got Christians all across America enamored with The Chosen. Doctrines of demons. If I can convince you to believe a little lie, it'll only build into bigger lies. You got many churches today that will not stand for truth in God's Word. We looked last week just briefly at the qualifications for being an elder and a deacon. And we talked about the significance of how Satan has really undermined the effectiveness of men in the church today. Next week we're going to be looking at Father's Day. We'll be talking a little bit about the importance of a father in the home. But men in the church, in a lack of strong male leadership in the church, has resulted in many young people out the doors. You see here, more doctrines of demons. So you have women pastors in many churches because, well, we can't find qualified men. You know, you go and you look back at the Old Testament. When women lead men, it's a judgment of God. And the next thing that follows is children rule. I want you to understand something. Many churches today, children rule. I had a person I know that was a strong believer. But this person told me, you know, we need to have the young people lead our congregations. Because they know where the action's at. They know what we should be doing. And I'm going, there may be some exceptional young men and women, but the vast majority of them don't know. And the scriptures, as we're going to see later on in Timothy, talk about honoring your elders. Because why? In Proverbs it says, gray hair is a mark that should be a mark of growing and maturing and wisdom. The sad thing is, gray hair today, people don't even want gray hair. We always cover up our gray hair. And we don't understand and honor elders, and elders don't oftentimes have wisdom to share because they haven't taken and invested enough time in the Word of God in their lives to have any wisdom to give. But when you turn the leadership over to children, you've come to an ultimate doctrine of demons, where the whole structure has been turned on its head, and the system of that's biblical and put in place for protective purposes has been torn apart and destroyed. You realize that, we'll get into this next week a little bit, but a man is the spiritual protection of his home. Yet, it's not never hardly ever preached. You realize that there's a reason God created men and women, and there's not any difference in the eyes of God as of the significance and importance of a man or a woman. Because God is not a respecter of persons, but God does give us responsibilities and authorities that are given to men and to women that are not the same. Doctrines of demons. Doctrines of demons enter in and they say a woman needs to usurp the position of a man. And it comes into the church. Doctrines of demons come and they say, you've got to listen to your children. You've got to let them do what they want to do. You've got to allow them to have some say and authority in the situations of life. And the more you open the crack, the more horrendous the doctrines of demons become. So today you not only have women pastors, but now you have homosexual pastors. And I'm not talking about men or women who may have given up that sin, repented of it, and allowed the power of God to transform their lives and come out of it. I am talking about people who are actively still involved in that lifestyle and now preaching God's Word. What do they preach? Well, doctrines of demons. There's a church that I know of. It's the first church that actively promoted the acceptance of the homosexual lifestyle. And when they were celebrating Resurrection Sunday, the sermon was on how we had abused the Palestinian people. And it was totally on its head from what resurrection means and why Jesus came. And it was about the LGBTQ community. And it had nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. Doctrines of demons. And you can go down the list and it only gets more and more horrendous. And so why is Timothy being warned by Paul? Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. The word hypocrisy means I put on a face. A hypocrite is someone who appears to be something that he's not. This is how a false teacher comes. He comes and appears to be something that he's not. He appears to be a man of God when he's really a man of Satan. Dave Hunt said in one of his messages that he gave up at Winnipeg about 30 years ago, he said, if Satan would send his people through the front doors dressed in red with tails and horns, everybody would say, I know what that's about. But instead they come in with three-piece suits, degrees and titles behind their names, all kinds of letters, and they come in and they begin to teach false doctrine. And it comes in one drip at a time. Until pretty soon, the whole church is turned on its head. We had some people that used to attend here, and they attend at a church down south. And they had vetted this church. They thought it was a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. It had some wonderful Christian people in it. And they attended there about 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden, the pastor's sermon started to change. And then one Sunday, they came, and they weren't singing hymns, but had a rock band on stage. And then, all of a sudden, the whole direction of the messages started to change and to shift. And some of those who were true Bible-believing Christians, one person, had been a Bible teacher in the Sunday school program for years and had been a strong Bible-believing teacher. And he went and he told the pastor, what you're doing is wrong. And they were told, either you join or leave. This is where doctrines of demons take you. They want the Word of God to be turned on its head and silenced so that the gospel message is not presented. And the pastor's logic in doing all of this is we need to grow our church so that the young people will come and they won't be offended. My Bible tells me that Jesus is offensive because He offends the world. Who did Jesus offend the most? The Pharisees. What did He say the Pharisees' main problem was? They were hypocrites. They put on faces that said they were religious, but if you took off the mask, you saw that they were nothing but worldly. They were right out of the pit of hell. He said that they were of their father, Satan. They were of their father who was a liar, who was a murderer from the beginning. They were hypocrites. Paul warns Timothy the church is going to be filled with hypocrites. One of the things that bothers me, we have all these rallies right now in our country to change, to make America great again, which it needs to be. But the problem is, it's a bunch of hypocrites. Because what they do not want to do is make America great by the principles of God's Word and calling people to repentance and calling people back to Christ. So Paul tells Timothy, not only that, it leads to a whole... He gives just two examples here, forbidding to marry and having dietary laws where you can't eat certain things. In the book of Colossians, he deals with the same topics. In the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, he deals with some of the same issues. And it's amazing. There are people today that are more concerned about not eating a piece of meat as Christians than they are about walking in obedience to the will of God and making themselves holy in their daily lives. And they equate holiness with diet. They equate holiness with what he says here in lifestyle. And you've got a whole group of people today that see no significance in marriage. You've got Christians that treat divorce the same way the world does. There's nothing wrong with divorce. Just go out, get divorced. They don't call people to work through their problems and to forgive one another. You've got another group of people that say, well, you know, I haven't heard this. Some young couples went to counseling and they said, well, yeah, go live together and try it out. Make sure you're compatible for one another before you make that final commitment. Nowhere in the Bible do I see anything like that, ever. I see purity and chastity until the moment of marriage. And it is to be a oneness that is only found in marriage, in a relationship between a man and a woman. Not outside of marriage. You don't get to try out, well, oh, that one didn't work. Let's get a different one. And really, we're taught to do that as young kids when you're encouraged to go steady in high school. But you can break up and pick a new steady. It's preparing you for divorce. Doctrines of demons. So what's the solution to this? What is the solution so we don't get caught up in all these doctrines of demons that the church is evidently getting caught up in? Because it's, Paul tells us. Let's jump ahead a little bit to verse 10. Well, start at 9. Well, let's go back to 7. But refuse profane and old wives' tales. Old wives' fables. Exercise thyself unto godliness. So the first thing you need to do is compare everything you hear, it doesn't matter who you're hearing it from, against what the Bible says. That's how you exercise yourself unto godliness. Had Pastor Berger actually gone to the Bible and read what it said about necromancy, and I don't care if it was my son, my daughter, my grandfather, my father, I would look and say, I have no ability to communicate with them because God says, do not do it. And I'm opening myself up to a spirit world that I don't know who is impersonating. You know, the spirits, the demons, know things about us. Demons are older than anybody in this room. Demons have capabilities that we do not have. But they are not all-knowing, and they are not all-powerful, and they are not God. But a demon can manifest itself to you. And I was listening to a woman who had come out of the occult. She had been a medium and she had been a fortune teller. And she said that people, her clients would come to her and she knew nothing about them and she would go into her trance and a spirit guide would reveal to her things about that person. They reveal the background of that person. They reveal things that had happened to that person. They reveal family members of that person. And so she thought it was real. Until it was shown her by the power of God's Spirit that she was getting that information from demons, not from God. Demons can do that. And so he's saying, we are to seek godliness. And we seek godliness through the Word of God. He goes on and he says, Don't refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourselves rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, and by little he means you shouldn't never go out and exercise your body. But he's saying it's only going to be good for so long. Jack Lalonde was one of the great exercise gurus who lived to be about in his mid-90s. And his body was in, for a 90-year-old, was really in good shape. But guess what happened to Jack Lalonde? He died. It didn't matter that he exercised and exercised. He let other people in exercising. His muscles were, even at a 90-year-old, were still toned pretty good. But he still died. Because it's pointed out, a man wants to die. And if you made bodily exercise the whole focus of your life, and keeping this body in shape, guess what? There's coming a day where it won't be in shape. And you're going to die. But what have you done for your spirit? Because he says here, it profiteth little with body exercise, because there comes an end to that, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise in the life that now is, and that which is to come. So we're not only when we do seek godliness, it profits us in this life because we're becoming more Christ-like daily in our character. We also are not opening ourselves up to doctrines of demons, old wives' fables, the theories of men, but rather we are being drawn closer to God daily, and in this life we reflect God's character, and in the life to come we're preparing ourselves for heaven. And all that God's got in store for us there. And he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. These things command and teach. What is these things? To avoid doctrines of demons, to seek godliness, and to walk with Christ. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. And how are we to be examples? First of all, in word. What is our conversation? Does our conversation reflect the world, or does our conversation reflect Christ? In spirit. What is our spirit? How is our spirit motivated, and what do we seek to do in faith? What do we put our trust in? Do we put our trust in the things of this world? Do we seek the exhortation of men at the exclusion of God? What do we put our faith in? Our job, our hope, our family, our money, our car, or our relationship with God? We should be an example of faith, godly faith, and in purity. And I want you to tell you something. Doctrines of demons always lead to an impure lifestyle in one form or another. Till I come, give attendance of reading to exhortation, to doctrine. To exhortation and to doctrine. So what do you tell Timothy to do? Be aware of all this false teaching that's coming. Be prepared by placing the Word of God in your life, by having faith in Jesus Christ, by trusting in all the words that God has said, and by looking to Him to give you direction and purpose to life. And then go out and tell other people the truth, exhortation, and have solid doctrine. Shared with you before, how do you know that which is false? By being so filled with that which is true, the minute something comes down the line that's false, you go, this is something wrong here. There's something wrong here. This isn't true. When you see, and there's we had someone tell us one time that they had, I don't even remember the circumstances of what the teaching was, but they said, boy, there's a check in my spirit. I just, something doesn't feel quite. We said, that's the Holy Spirit telling you you need to check out what you're being taught. And I don't care who the teacher is. There used to be a woman by the name of Beth Moore, and she started Bible studies years ago. And initially she sounded pretty good, and the stuff she taught was kind of right out of the Bible, and then all of a sudden she started incorporating New Age philosophy into it. And she started incorporating other things that weren't biblical into her teachings. Until today, it is more psychological and New Age than it is biblical. Somebody told us, we had a check in our spirit about her. Yeah, you need to check what she's teaching against the Bible. Because it doesn't matter how many people are following her, how many books she's got, you need to find out what she really believes and what she's really teaching. Is it true doctrine or the doctrine of demons? Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand these truths. Help us to apply these truths to our lives. And help us to seek to be godly in character and to have a firm foundation of your word in our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 587.